And now, back to Answers for Elders as we honor our military veterans. Carriage is the proud sponsor of our veterans segment, hosted by former Seattle Seahawk, Dennis Boyd.
Good morning. This is Dennis Boyd for Answers for Elders. We are down at Patriots Landing in DuPont, Washington today with Lieutenant Colonel Franz Dolman. Colonel, thank you very much for joining us. Colonel Dolman, you have an amazing story to tell, and it starts at the age of 9 or 10 when you were in the Netherlands. Can you tell us where things started for you? In Java. Well, it was my understanding that you were living in the Netherlands and you left there to go to Indonesia.
My father, we were already in Europe, mm-hmm. in France, okay. In Nice. My father wanted to get away from it, so the whole thing was to go get from here to Java. But with that mess that was in existence, you didn't know if you were going to make it there or not.
So leaving Europe was a gamble.
It was a gamble of my father, figuring that he wanted to get away from there. And it was early enough, I think it was late 39 or early 40, I'm not sure. My father went to Java, but he didn't know the Japanese were going to be there.
Right.
And the Japanese have 3 days and they overran everybody. Compliment for Japan, okay? They were very disciplined with their soldiers. And there's a story I could tell you about my mom's and my father's wings that were told you get them at the end of the war. And they had to move those things around for 2 years. And a year later, we got released. And then they were still there. My mom got them back. Now, that's amazing for how disciplined they were.
So when Japan had overtaken Java in the early part of, or I guess it was 1944,
I think.
And then what happened to you and your family?
Well, our family, they put all the white-skinned humans in a separate camp, mm-hmm. you know. And we went out working in the fields every day, almost. And also other things, no food, you know, no. The space I had was maybe the size of that couch there, that little couch.
It's about a 2 foot by 6 foot space there, or 5 foot space, yes.
And the problem was the lice were really driving nuts after a while. So we went on lice hunts. And then they were also had a lot of mosquitoes, so the Japanese, and flies. And the Japanese said, well, tell you what, we'll give you a small amount of sugar for 100 flies if you deliver those. You know, you, a lick of your tongue would probably wipe up all the sugar that you had. And my brother and I, we'd save until you have the pile of 100, and then you go and get it turned in by whoever was controlling it. It was not a Japan guy sitting there.
You know. So when you were, tell me what it was like, you know, I guess you were working agricultural then when you were as a POW
mostly,
then?
Mostly agricultural. I have a twin brother, and my advantage of the whole series of these things, Hans and I were always together. Hans is my twin brother. And so... you know, that helped a lot to have both. So most of the kids in, you know, they could be 10 and a half and never have nobody to take care of, mm-hmm. nobody talk to them hardly.
You always had your brother.
Yeah, and so I was lucky. Yeah, I consider it lucky.
How did you find out the war had was over?
There had been rumors in our secret radio that I, and then not maybe a couple of days, a week later or whatever. Two Dutch airplanes flew over and dropped pamphlets on the prison camp, all five of them. There was, to the best of my knowledge, there was five large camps. I know they were right around Semarang. This is Java, mm-hmm. the center of Semarang, which is a very busy business port for ships. But what happened a little bit later, this is a little simply, but we wanted to get to America, so... Getting to America, we got on board a ship, okay, a freighter, and there were two families in this family. My family, that's my mother, Johanna, and then another family. But we were supposed to go into San Francisco, but the storm was so bad he was afraid he would roll and he didn't have any cargo because they didn't have any cargo. They didn't have limited cargo to give away, and this ship did not have the power to just get cargo. So anyway, so they dropped us off in Washington here.
So you were you made it out. It sounds like almost like you were almost a bit of, not a stowaway, but you kind of got on the ship by the skin of your teeth here in a ship that happened to be heading east to the U.S.
Yeah, he shifted his landing.
So how did you end up in the Air Force?
In the Air Force? Well, I saw all these soldiers, these guys getting, and the draft was still in effect, right? And I had decided I would not, period, I would not go and be an Army guy. It's just too, I don't want to get killed by the, after being on the Japanese. So I worked on getting my education done. I had a fly, I had passed a flying test. I'd passed the navigator test. I'd passed all these challenges of and I finished 4.5 years of college.
So how many years did you fly as a navigator then?
I had active duty at 13 years,
okay.
And then 18 years of reserves. Mm-hmm. But the reserves in the 141 was like being on active duty with your own regular outfits, because we both, the active duty side and the reserves, had the same amount of information. In fact, the reserves had been flying already for, say, 3 to 5 years, knew a lot more about what was happening with the airplane. Very experienced crews.
Mm-hmm. As a part of my interview with Franz, I had the opportunity to interview his two daughters, Chris and Kathy. Chris had to say this about Franz's time in the Air Force Reserve and his Vietnam experience.
I don't know, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, one of my dad's underlings said, Franz, you really should pursue a disability with the VA. You know, you were flying C-141s during the Vietnam years, in and out of Vietnam. And my father has certain disabilities that are that have that predisposed diseases that are linked with Agent Orange and other things. And for veterans that are of that age group, it's very difficult to get through that process. And so I checked into it, and through that, I learned a lot about the VA process. It's harder than doing taxes, I believe. And so we kept at it and worked at it. But, you know, as my sister and my brother and I, we lived through those years, but weren't old enough to understand it. And I'm sure it was terrifying for my mom, my dad too, but my mom raising three children at that age. But what I learned was that for 6.5, 7 years, my dad was flying in there as a reservist, taking cargo in and bringing stuff back, you know, once or twice a month for six and a half years. And the reservists typically are the older, more experienced flyers because they've done their active duty time. They're looked to as the leaders. The active duty flyers are the younger set. And so the more experienced flyers are really the ones that are the leaders on the crews. And when I was working through this VA process, there's not a lot of records because that was all, you know,
they never recorded most of the speakers when they didn't.
Well, they would take off. Yeah, they take off from a cord and they might go to Yokota or they might go to Alaska. And in midair, they would change. They would give them their orders because it was all secret and they had to keep it. They had to keep it secret at the time. And so it was hard to get flight orders to prove, you know, to prove that they were boots on the ground in Vietnam. But I, as an adult child now, learned a lot about what my father went through and my mom as well. But it was very, very interesting to learn how much time was actually spent supporting Vietnam. And at first it was a lot of cargo, and then towards the end, working mercy missions to evacuate Saigon. My father told me stories about needing to get certain individuals out of the country who were desperate because they had a heart condition or because they had, you know, a certain situation. And it's very, very interesting. One of the compelling stories that I was able to corroborate was actually because of an Air Force archivist was able to corroborate stories about some of the missions that were flown. And it was just very, very interesting for me to learn this as an adult.
Kathy wanted to read this from one of Franz's writings.
I'll read an excerpt from a paper that my father wrote in documenting his POW experience and the 3 years that he spent in camp. He went through and he kind of wrote down his story. In addition to that, as children, he would come into our history classes in high school, and he'd talk about that POW experience of being captive and what he went through as a child and what he had to endure. And then he always ended talking to those classes about also trying to relate that to his experience in joining the military now. And I'll read just very quickly what he wrote, because it basically is the same thing he would say to the class. We came to the United States in 1946, and now I am serving in the U.S. Air Force. Looking back after all 3 years, I can only thank God above, who has given me the opportunity to dedicate myself to the country that believes in an individual. I've seen the folly of war, the cruel, the useless destruction it causes, the lives that it destroys and forever mutilates. I know the value of this country and those unspoken ideals that exist. This is why today I am ready to sacrifice my life, to kill if necessary, just to keep and preserve our America's freedom. And I think that's really well said. And that always stuck with me and when I talk to people that, you know, he'd say that being here in the United States, the freedom that we have in this country is worth dying for. Mm-hmm. And you only know that after you've had to give up everything, mm-hmm. and as he did for 3 years as a child.
I want to thank retired Lieutenant Colonel Franz Dolman of the U.S. Air Force for his years of service and his two daughters, Chris and Kathy, for joining me today on Answers for Elders.
This has been a special honoring veterans presentation of Answers for Elders, brought to you by Carriage. For more information about Carriage, the website is CAREAGE.com.